Hey, how's it going? Episode 17 of the I Want Practice podcast presented by Precision Sonar. I am Donovan. I am here with Joe and Ryan. Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
We're good.
Fantastic. Today, we're going to talk about the upcoming Bassmaster EQ series. This is the first year that they are going to be doing the EQ series. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about it, but these guys do. So we're going to talk to them about it and go over the facts and what it is and what we're looking forward to. So how do you guys want to start this off talking about the EQ series?
Basically, it's just two divisions. They take the top 50 from each division and then they fish three tournaments. And then you have an elite series. Well, the elite series guys that didn't requalify, they're open to fit. They can fish it also.
And then is it top 10 from the EQs that qualify for the elite series next year?
Exactly.
Interesting. So, and this is a question that I had. So whenever you said they take two divisions, it's both of the open divisions, right?
Correct.
So how is that segmented? Because I saw on their website there is a Division One and Division Two.
I just thought it was more like a central and
yeah,
an
it's
eastern.
Like yeah. Geographically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I did see, and we'll get into this, Laker Howell qualified on both sides for it. So that would make sense because I think he fished every single one of them. Did he not?
Yeah.
Every single open this year. Yeah. So this year, well, I say this year, but the first year, they will be going to Lake Champlain, which will be at the end of September. Wheeler Lake, which will be at the very beginning of October, I think. It's like a week and a half, 2 week turnaround. And then Lake Okeechobee to finish it off, which I don't remember the dates on that one.
It's in November.
November, yeah.
Is it the end of November?
Sometime or in November. I would assume beginning to middle of November.
Okay. So yeah. Those are the three. It's going to be really interesting because, of course, they're going back to Champlain. Shocker. Joe, big smile on your face.
I love it.
See, when we talked about the Elite Series schedule and talked about Champlain, I was a hater.
I can't hear you.
Thank you. God.
Thanks.
Couldn't hear you.
I was a hater when we talked about the Elite Series schedule being at Champlain. I've got a different opinion about Champlain when you're in September. Different stuff's going to play. You're going to be able to see some different techniques. It's not going to be guys just sitting over open water, live scoping for suspended fish. There's going to be several different tactics in play. And so that's kind of exciting.
For someone who has been up there a few times in their life and taken the drive from Kentucky to New York,
Plattsburgh.
Sure. what is the weather like up there in September?
You could basically wake up to 38 degree weather.
Wow.
It could be chilly, but it could also be 90 degrees. I fished a 2 day Federation, whatever, a long time ago, and it was 90 degrees both days. So if you get a north wind up there, then it's, you'll get some of that cold air from Canada, but it can be either way. It's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't realize how close it was to Canada. I thought for some reason Champlain was going to be like in the middle of the line on New York. Turns out it is basically on the Canadian border. I didn't realize that.
You can drive to Canada on a boat.
Yep.
One thing is going to be for certain. The wind will blow that week.
100%.
At least one day.
Ryan and I were talking about it, and if you're catching them one day, melt them to the ground.
Right.
If it's day one or day two, catch them all, because there's a pretty good chance that one of those days will, like you said, be canceled.
With that being such a common area for Bassmaster and also MLF, how much does experience play into an area like that?
I think so. I cut my teeth up there in September, mid to late September. It's totally different than middle of August. Like Ryan said, just totally different. A lot more power fishing. One thing that nobody's really talking about, and I just kind of keep track of this, is the water is like 93 and a half feet, which I've fished that lake when it's been 101 feet. So that would be considered flood, and 93 would be considered super low. So,
well,
a lot of largemouth stuff that typically you'd throw a frog in, it's dry. It's going to make that deep grass very, very important.
Wow.
8-10 foot stuff.
Ryan, have you ever fished Champlain?
Never been there.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I think.
I think you said before you want to go up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be a fun place to fish. Like I said before, though, as far as watching a tournament, it's generally not that fun when they go there in that summertime type of deal, because it's kind of the same deal every time they go there at the same time of the year. But this is going to be something a little bit different. And talking about experience, I think, you know, in today's day and age when we've got YouTube and, you know, you can look up all the tournaments and Bassmaster Live and MLF Live and all this stuff, you can watch everybody fishing. And even if you haven't been there, you can have a pretty good idea how the tournament's going to happen. But with this being in September, there's not any live coverage that you can go back and look at in September. So I think it'll, I think if there is some local people in it or some people that have some history there, could definitely play a factor.
I think it'll be interesting being able to take, so it's 130 people, right? Or 130 anglers. So
we don't know.
Well, I was looking over the rules and they said first we'll get 130 points and then second 129. So I'm assuming there's 130 spots. So it's 50
might be spots, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think there's up, they would take up to 130.
Okay.
But like we were talking about it earlier, don't know if it's going to be a full field, because just because you qualified for it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to go.
That's fair. Because you've got 50 from Division One, 50 from Division Two, and then 10 anglers from, or no, what'd you say?
So I think there's 101 or 102 people that fish the Elite Series, and 70 is the number. So,
okay.
It's 130, you know, 30 of those guys or 32 of those guys would fish it. So that's where they're at for 130.
Gotcha. That's where they get that number from. Okay. I think it'll be interesting. When's the last time we've seen any of the series fish Champlain? Not necessarily in September, I guess in September, but later in the year. When's the last time we saw that?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Since I've been keeping up with the higher level fishing, I can't remember a tournament in that time frame.
Right. And there's a reason for that. Yeah. It's a logistical nightmare with weather. You can't just, it's so wide open where they're out of Cumberland Head. It gets roasted by a south wind. It's not like people can sneak into a river or something like that. It's just exposed. Mm.
I thought it was kind of ironic because there's been so many complaints this year and it's no one's fault. It's Mother Nature, but so many days have gotten canceled in the opens. I think in the one division, there was only one tournament that didn't have a canceled day, and that was the Kentucky Lake event. Otherwise, there's been a lot of canceled days. And so when you talk about Champlain in September, you almost kind of think that's going to continue that same theme.
You watch.
Yeah, it's going to be slick
dead,
calm.
It's going to be sunny, dead yeah. slick calm, like
85 degrees.
Just
a beautiful weekend.
Unreal. Like, yeah. I will say this in my past experience, if they get 3 days of perfect practice, they're going to get roasted.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, 3 days of practice, 3 days of tournament, one of 6 days, the wind is going to blow. Mm-hmm. I'd bet on that big time.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like super spook stuff. It's going to be jerk bait. It's going to be power. It's going to be chatter bait. It's going to be a fun one to watch.
You think there'll be some big fish or no?
Biggins.
Really?
Yep. I think big largemouth will come to the party in this one.
Big largemouth.
Mm-hmm. I'd say weights should probably be better than when they're generally there in the summer, because, you know, even those pelagic fish, you know, versus fish that are post-spawn, like people talk about that, like you're fishing for the same length fish, you know, a 17 incher that's chasing bait weighs different than a 17 incher that just got off of bed, mm-hmm. you know? So I think they should be all a whole lot fatter and, you know, weight should be pretty good.
And they know it. I mean, they can't feel water temperature really, but they can, they know sunlight and they're losing sunlight and they start to just chew.
And this is more of a, something that I'm just now thinking of. This is more of a logistical question for Bassmaster, but how much do you think that they're thinking about viewership and the weights and how this tournament turns out in late September and then putting that info into future scheduling for the Elite Series, the Opens, because like you said, they typically schedule it around that April to June, July time frame. Do you think at any point they go, well, that actually was a really good tournament. It's the end of September. What if we made it stop nine? And that's the end of August.
I think it's a scheduling nightmare because of weather. And I think this is, I mean, they're kind of forced that they've got to get these tournaments in the fall.
Right.
I'd love to see more fall tournaments though. I love 100%. Grinder tournaments and generally fall is typically tougher. You know, maybe not at Champlain up north. It's probably a little bit better. But in the south, it's generally pretty tough in the fall.
So, I think they did a good job of, cause you have the two regions mm-hmm. or the two
divisions,
one and two,
yeah.
How they did one up north, basically one central
mm-hmm.
And one down south.
And diverse fisheries too.
100%.
Yeah.
Cause that's about as north and as far south you can be as far as what we're used to seeing fished. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. And also I wanted to, could you kind of trace my mind a little bit as far as viewership goes, whenever you're watching, I know you've said before, you're not a big fan of just straight up watching fishing.
Yeah.
But as far as viewership goes, if you had to rank the seasons, all four seasons, which ones would you prefer watching versus not?
You mean like, spring, winter,
fall, summer. Yep.
I think that varies based on the region too and the lake.
Okay. Kentucky Lake.
I mean, I'd love to see a wintertime tournament on Kentucky Lake because there'd be big weights.
Right. So wintertime one?
Yeah. Okay. Wintertime, springtime.
Joe?
Spring, fall guy.
Yeah. Okay. So like spring, fall one, two, and then summer, winter, who cares?
Summer's terrible in the south.
Yeah.
It might be good fishing, but it's just hot.
Dreadful.
Hot and humid.
Yeah. It's 99 degrees and it feels like 112
yep.
with the humidity. Yeah. So that about wraps up Champlain for us. Wheeler Lake, they're launching out of Decatur, Alabama. Have you fished out of Wheeler before?
I have, yeah.
What's your experience there?
I was there basically the same time that it was a Toyota championship and they had it there a long time ago. It was cold. It was November. It was different. There was grass when I was there and there's not as much grass now. The flats will play and I'm thinking there's only going to be about 85 boats that fishes.
Well, that first one's really important because there's going to be a lot of guys that don't do well in the one in Champlain and they're going to go, well, I'll just get them next year.
But they got to put their deposit down for all three.
Oh, do they?
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought it was per one.
No,
they got to put all three up front.
And so, what'd they say the deposit was for each one?
$6,000 for three of them. So two apiece. And then another $1,500. But yeah, it's going to be, but it's still, it's winning you're in these. So
right.
If somebody wins one or somebody's really good on Okeechobee in November, which is, will be a good talk,
yeah. But
you know, and they don't do well in the first two, they might just suck it up and fish that last one for the opportunity to maybe, you know, make the classic. Mm-hmm. And you have guys fishing the Elite Series that qualified
right
and are going to there's that section of 40 to 70.
Yeah, I was about to say 70
where those guys are outside of the classic. And I know like Robert G is going to fish him just to see if he can win to get to the classic. Cause he requalified.
Mm. Oh, you said something in there that I really wanted to talk about, and I forgot about it. Oh, the pay table. That's what I wanted to ask. So have they announced the pay table for these yet?
I'm assuming it's going to mimic what they've done.
The opens.
Yeah.
I assumed it'd be closer to what the opens show, but I almost think, do you think there will be less money in these than typical?
You're paying $1,500 more to fish it, but
only half the field.
But who knows? Right. You know, maybe a portion of that $1,500 is going to fund the Elite Series.
Exactly.
So it's got to be a little give and take on that deal.
Because let's see, if they're paying per one, they're paying $3,500, and there's, let's just say, 100. Mm-hmm. So that's $350,000. You can imagine the pay table is going to be around 200,000, probably 250.
The winner is only going to make, if 50. There's 100, is maybe not even.
You don't think they're making 50?
I don't think 30. So.
Really?
I bet you it's a $38,000 deal. That's my guess.
So it may not even be
way off
two.
Base, but I don't think the payback is going to be as
well. I think
as good
in an open. That's all it is in the 30s. I think.
Yep. It's not super strong.
Yeah.
I thought the opens
you don't fish
were
the opens to make money.
Mm-mm. I thought the opens were 50.
Oh,
or what am I thinking of?
30s.
I don't know what I'm thinking of.
I think the guy that won Chesapeake Bay, I almost fell out of my chair. I think he made like $32,000.
Yeah,
and he won.
Hmm.
Yeah, you nailed it. You don't fish the opens to make any money. You want to qualify. That's
what kind of confuses me about if you've got 50 from each division that qualify. Why would you not want to fish the EQs? Like, and maybe people are just fishing the opens just because they want to fish the opens or they want to have a chance to make the classic or whatever. But I would figure most of those people are trying to qualify for the Elite Series.
Yes. My thought was, you know, you got a guy that finished, let's just say 46th place.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the year. He didn't make any money fishing the opens. If you came in 46, you're tapped. Like, unless you have somebody's paying your way.
Yeah.
Which that's pretty rare.
That's so pretty rare.
The guy's tapped and let's just say doesn't know Champlain or doesn't know Wheeler.
Yeah.
It's an easy out for him.
Yep.
So what, and you bring up a good point, because what are those initial, like through the year, if you're planning on really nailing down qualifying through the opens this year, what is the cost at the end of the year for you to do that?
$2,000 a tournament.
Yeah.
And how many opens are there? I mean,
are there four?
Four per division. Yeah.
So, I mean, at minimum, not counting gas, lodging, anything like that, it's $8,000 minimum. So, I mean, that can add up.
Yeah, I'd say you could probably imagine like $1,000 to $1,500 in expenses per tournament.
Yep.
Outside of entry fees.
I was going to say like total for the year, probably $15,000.
I think that's a good number.
Maybe
20. I think that's a good number. Yep. And when you're doing this, you're not working.
Yeah. Right.
So
you're missing out on money.
Correct.
So, and the only reason I say 20 is because one of our guys, Ty, how do you say his last name?
Al.
Ty Al. I mean, he lives in Arizona, New Mexico,
Arizona.
And he, I think he fished one up in New York, didn't he? There was one where he drove from Arizona and he went to the New England area and then drove back.
Well, like he was mapping out his trip to go to the EQs. He's going to go to Champlain and then to Okeechobee and then back to Arizona or to Wheeler, then to Okeechobee, whatever. And it's like, I mean, you're covering the whole entire country.
Yep. Oh man. Brutal.
I mean, just you're driving for 3 days probably to get there.
Yeah.
And like, you need to get there early enough to just get your system back.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough. Tough.
I mean, if it, like, just in his case, I feel like that's almost just for one of them, it's a 2 week excursion minimum.
Yeah. Brutal.
Oh, yeah. Tough. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when you're traveling that far, you anticipate things happening. You hope nothing happens, but right. You anticipate something happens. So you've got to leave early so that you're able to get your full practice and all that kind of stuff. So,
I mean, you're covering thousands of miles in one single trip.
Yeah.
So,
fishing on Wheeler. I mean, that's going to be, that could be a fun, that's you've got time there. Like it's
same time yeah. last year.
I think you learned a lot last time you were there.
Yeah. So. It's, I think it'll be a better tournament. It was a better tournament last year than I thought it was going to be. And a lot of it has to do with live scope. It's going to be, I think it'll be a live scope tournament. I mean, the flats deal, Decatur flats will always play. Like someone will make, you know, a top 10 off the Decatur flats, but I think it'll be dominated by forward facing sonar.
Have they said anything about possibly going to Gunnersville? Cause that's only like what, an hour ride?
Yeah, it's the next leg down, but
right.
Yeah, they won't let them lock.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Mm. It's interesting.
That would be a conga line.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because if it is, I guarantee you a lot of them are taking that risk to go to Gunnersville.
Yeah, they won't let them lock. There's plenty of water to fish there. And, I mean, yeah, they'll all be fishing Wheeler.
Okay. I think that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Of October, Wheeler.
I'd love to see the flats play a little bit more. Like Joe said, the grass just isn't what it used to be. When I was there last year, the flats were covered with this weird grass. Like I had never seen it before. I'd talked to several people in practice that had fished around it. And everybody was like, yeah, they just don't live in that stuff. So it was some sort of weird grass that I've never seen. And
do you know what it's called?
No, still to this day, I have no clue what it is. Hmm. It was nasty looking though. I mean, fish didn't get in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't have anything else for Wheeler. Do you guys have anything else? So both of you,
I just hope somebody and they get it on TV just has that 30-minute period on the flats with mix of smallmouth and largemouth top water.
Yeah.
Cause that's what we get. It goes down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But that flats area, man, I tried to do that a day in practice and I got claustrophobic real quick.
It's
daunting.
It's daunting. But there are little sweet little pieces on it.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking for the needle in the haystack
and it could be unreal.
Yeah. The day that I did it too, I launched right there at Decatur. You come out and like the flats are right there and it's just like boats everywhere in practice. And I was like, yeah, this ain't my deal.
Yep.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. Moving on to Lake Okeechobee November tournament. Last one. Neither of you have fished on Okeechobee, correct?
I fished it.
You have? Yeah. How was that?
It all depends on the time of the year.
What time of the year did you fish it?
I fished it in the wintertime. I fished it mostly wintertime. I don't think I've ever fished it in the fall. Spring and wintertime.
Okay.
So it was like an FLW series or something was in.
So like February, March area.
And it was November-ish, I think.
Oh, okay.
December, maybe. It was one of the two. It got cold, really, really, really cold. One of those days. But yeah, that's I don't really know how those fish react. There could be a great schooling bite down there. It'll be interesting.
What is November though in South Florida?
Well,
what season of the year is that?
They're
no idea.
So yeah.
The spawn is basically starting.
Yeah, that's like pre-spawn, really.
Correct.
Yeah. And we're sitting here talking about it as winter. Yeah. Exactly.
Their spawn is like
it's a completely different world.
5 months long.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah. That's what my dad used to fish Okeechobee all the time and he would talk about that like December was essentially like the start of the spawn and then there would be spawners all the way through April.
Huh.
I mean, the water temperature doesn't really get below like mid to high 50s, I'm assuming. Like low 60s is...
The lake's too big to shock off. Like it takes a lot to get that temp down. they always said when it's 60, when the water temp's 68 degrees in the morning, stable, like
yeah,
that's when those fish will start to go and want a bed. One other thing is Okeechobee is extremely low right now.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody thinks Okeechobee, mud, flats, this and that. You can destroy your boat. There's a lot of hard stuff in that lake.
Why is it so low right now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't live there.
Well, you said it. I didn't know if you had info on it.
Well, I got a little info, but it's, you know.
What is it?
My dad lives like right there, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Fan of the program.
Steve?
Yes.
Friend of the program.
Yes.
We need to get Steve on here.
We do.
My God.
We do.
That would be a episode of the year.
He lives in Okeechobee, doesn't he?
Yeah. Okeechobee. City of Okeechobee. Yep.
Shout out Steve Lucarelli.
There you go.
So we need to holler at him and get a fishing report from him.
Yeah. Exactly.
We don't have to get into it, but it has to do with the grass, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Do you want to elaborate on that?
It's just, so when we were there, but there was grass, there were reed heads, that whole west shore, those fish would come from the main lake, get on those reeds, and you'd find sweet spots in them, and you'd flip it and before they went in behind the wall and spawned. So that's like where all your big pre-spawn fish would go. I think Katrina destroyed all the grass. It uprooted everything in the places. It just never been the same. It completely changed. And so that's a curveball for these guys who did have experience. If they did have experience 15 years ago or so, that's out the window.
Wow. But even still, what you said, that was what? 50, well, when did Katrina happen? I don't know. I guess that's
it might have been 20 years ago.
I was about to say it's probably closer to 20 now. Yeah. I mean, do you think it's now 20 years ago? You would think that the commonality has been set in by now.
Oh, they've adapted.
Right.
And I think, you know, rim canals and cooler water and hard, just, you know, riprap bank, that type of stuff will
not play. The stuff you think of when you think of Okeechobee.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And the water being so low.
Yeah.
There could be a whole deal going on in the rim canal because that's where all your deep water is. It's all man-made.
My dad was saying, like, back when he fished it a lot, which was like in the 80s, there was some hurricane that came through and destroyed it, like you're talking about. I want to say it was like Hurricane Andrew or something. But he said basically the same thing. Like, for several years, there was hardly any grass, and it all obviously came back. I mean, it's just like here. You know, every lake goes through a cycle.
Yep. And they spray down there.
Yeah.
So that's not good, but yeah, you know, it'll be good.
It'll be really good. Guys that, I figured I'd throw this in here. So the guys that we'd recognize that we are, I don't know if associated with is correct.
And friends of the program.
Yeah. Well, friends of the company, in the first division, there's John Hunter, who is in 20th, and then Laker Howell, who's in 34th. I'm sure I missed some people's names, but those are the ones that I saw that I recognized. And then in division two, Laker Howell in fourth, and then, really good friend of the company, Clint Knight in 15th. So that'll be interesting to see how those guys perform. We're rooting for those guys. And the guys that I missed, I apologize.
Yeah, you just talked about one.
Who?
Ty Au.
Oh, yeah, Ty Au. I didn't. Yeah, see? Sorry, Ty.
Oh, I'm sure there are more.
I'm sure that there's going to be a lot more that I missed.
You're going to get hate mail.
That's fine. Common. Most of the hate mail I get is from internal communications. It's all from the company.
It's not me.
Well, anyways. So, yeah, that about wraps up our talk on the EQs. Do you guys have anything else you want to add on the EQs, what you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a late Champlain tournament.
I'm looking forward to seeing which Elite Series anglers end up requalifying, if any.
Yeah.
We should do a little quick prediction.
Right now?
Just not on who, how many. How many guys from the Elite Series will make the top 10?
Assume is it 30 or 31?
32. Whatever.
So assume 32. How many do you think requalify?
Two.
Joe says two. Ryan?
Putting me on the spot here.
He did it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm looking for action.
He likes the action.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say one.
Bold. I love it.
God, I was going to say one. Now
you can still say one.
Well, I don't know if I want to be risky and say like a stupid number, like six or something like that. That's just not happening. Like, I don't think six are requalifying.
The hard part for me there, and this is where I feel like it's even more bold, is I was bouncing around between one and none.
Yeah. I think at least one will get there, though. Because what they said, how many spots are requalify or qualify? Ten. Mm.
Like the Elite Series anglers are good. Don't get me wrong. Like best in the world. However, these open guys, like they ain't going to take it easy on them.
And they're
like,
open guys that fished the Elite Series.
Yeah.
And you know, they dropped out and they had to get all the way back through
made it. So much has happened to evolve tournament fishing over the last couple of years. You know, you've got guys in the opens that are just monsters with forward facing sonar. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys that didn't requalify when they did qualify for the Elite Series, like forward facing sonar wasn't near as popular or near as powerful as what it is now. So, I mean, the opens guys mean business.
Mm. Yep. So, well, yeah, they're what, Hungry Dog or something like that? What's it called? What's the saying? Nobody's helping me out.
I'm not picking up what you're laying down.
Hungry dog runs faster or something like that.
Doggy wants to hide his bone?
No. Those guys are actively trying to get there to somewhere they haven't been yet.
Oh, they're hungry.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The guys in the Elite Series obviously want to defend their spots and try as hard as possible, but it's hard to fend off the guys who are actively wanting a new experience and try to be an Elite Series angler.
Yeah, but you look at, on the flip side, look at Chad Pipkins, just throwing a name out there.
Yep. Sure.
He's been on the Elite Series for
13 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 10 plus years. He's trying to defend his career.
Right.
Like, this has been his job for 13 years.
Yep. This is not just something he does now. This is Chad Pipkins.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's going to sign up for the EQs, but I'm just saying, like, he's a perfect example.
I think my prediction is going to be one.
Okay.
Just because that's kind of what I had in mind. As far as, well, let me ask Tim. Do you know if he qualified this year or not?
He's out. He's out. He's fishing the EQs.
Is he fishing all three?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be rooting for him on that and all of our guys that,
absolutely. Yeah.
That we love and root for every time. So,
has he got much experience at Champlain in September?
How much?
I don't know, dude. Not as much as me, but a lot. Well,
I don't think that comes from just fishing it. I mean, you've had years of experience on top of him. You know?
He's good.
Yeah, but you fished it like for a long time.
18 footers, 150s. Yeah.
You were probably fishing it before they had outboard motors.
Yeah, that's true.
They were paddling out there. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Nothing else?
That's it.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else. You guys don't have anything else? So let's get out of here. That is all that we have for episode 15, talking about the EQs. Hopefully next episode. Do we have anything queued for next episode? We have someone coming in.
We do. We have a special guest.
We have a
very, very special guest. Yeah.
We have a special guest coming in. First one in a long time, and I'm super excited for it. So be on the lookout for that. Do we have any hints on that we want to give out on who it is or no? Just keep it a secret.
Secret.
Perfect. And that's not a hint to our old friend.
That would have been a good.
That would have been fun. We've had her on here before.
Yep.
Yeah. It is not a secret though, but we are keeping it a secret, but thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. I was going to look up what all we're on, cause that was questioned last 17. Episode. we're on like 25 or 30 different streaming services for our podcast. Most of them I don't even recognize. They're kind of out there. But anyways, if you're listening to us on one of those, make sure you subscribe, follow, like the page, give us a comment, what you think is going to happen and what you're looking forward to. We look forward to hearing from you guys. So, yeah, let's get out of here.
Peace.
See ya.